love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Of the weekly Waiver Wire pod here on South Harmon. If you don't know who I am Eric Vanek, and I am the host of America's Game right here on the South Harmon podcast feed. It comes out every Thursday, so hopefully you guys are listening in on that when that comes out. But yeah, I'm going to be doing this again for everybody this year, season two of the Waiver Wire pod. Just some quick points I want to go over here before I get started. So I do record these on Monday afternoon. So some of the injury news hasn't fully come out yet. And obviously the Monday Night Football game hasn't happened yet either. So if there is any major injuries tonight in the 49ers-Jets game, knock on wood that there isn't. But if there is, those aren't going to be included in this podcast just because of the timing of when I'm recording it. I dive really deep into the waiver wire for dynasty players. So if you're a dynasty player, you're in a deep best ball league, you're in a deep lineup league, this is going to be the podcast for you. Yeah, I'm going to give you some of the obvious guys that are going to be out there, but this is mainly to kind of talk about the injuries and talk about some of those guys that don't get a lot of love. These are the, you know, those best ball guys that you need to pick up that are actually playing some snaps, and maybe they hit a home run for you and they sneak into your lineup that week. This isn't like, you know, the obvious, oh, I'm going to pick up, you know, Alexander Mattison because he's a starter for the Raiders. You know, stuff like that. Some of those guys are, you guys already know about that stuff. You don't come here for that. You come here to find those deep dynasty gems. If you listen to Koopa on his podcast, he said how much this podcast helped him a lot last year to kind of get some of the snap counts and snap shares that these guys are playing. And maybe down the road, they're becoming more and more involved in the offense. And if you pick them up, you know, a week or two ahead of time, then you're ahead of the game over your league mates, and you're the one that's going to be cashing in on this information. So I try to keep this podcast each week to about 30 to 40 minutes. This being week one, there's a lot more information that's out there, so this might be a little bit longer of an episode this week, but you can usually expect this to hopefully be around the 30-minute mark. If it goes a little over, it goes a little over. But you know, 20, 30 minutes, I want to try and keep this podcast to weekly. But just a heads up, this is week one. There's a lot more information that's out there right now. So this week is probably going to be just a little bit longer than normal. And so with that out of the way, let's go ahead. Let's talk about some of the injuries that happened this week. So obviously quarterback Jordan Love, we all saw that on Friday night. He's probably going to be out 3 to 6 weeks, they're saying. So we're going to have to see which quarterback is going to come in there right now. There hasn't been like an official confirmation on who is going to be the starter for Green Bay this week, but it's pointing towards Malik Willis from what I've read. But it also could be Sean Clifford. With, you know, could they bring in Ryan Tannehill? That's a possibility too. But as of right now, it's going to be Willis or Clifford. And if the stuff that I've read, I would lean towards Willis right now. And then as of Monday afternoon too, Lamar Jackson was not spotted at practice. Kind of stay tuned to the reports on that. Jim Harbaugh did come through and did say he declined to say why Lamar missed practice. He said we had a number of guys that weren't out there, some personal, some are physical. He said the injury report comes out Wednesday afternoon, so you'll be better advised on that day regarding all those guys. So he's being nonchalant, not giving any information on Lamar Jackson. I don't expect Lamar to miss any time, but I wanted to put that out there. Running back. So only one real running back injury that I saw, and that was Ken Walker. He left the last few minutes of the game with an abdomen injury. He says he's fine. You know, it's just something to kind of monitor. I know head coach went out and said something. I don't have it on top of me right now, but he did come out and say it wasn't like anything too serious. I don't think Ken Walker is saying it's anything too serious. He said no injury update on the abdomen, so that's what it was, from head coach Mike McDonald. So nothing there to really be too concerned about. But Ken Walker, I mean, he, like last year, he got banged up a little bit here and there. That guy's always has some little nicks and dings on him, so just kind of watch and monitor that one. Wide receivers. So we did have a couple injuries to the wide receiver spot. Jordan Addison, he hurt his other ankle. He came into the game with the with his other ankle hurt, and then he came into this game and hurt the other one. Kevin O'Connell said he was very sore. I'm guessing with two ankle injuries, he's probably going to miss a week or two, would be my best guess on Jordan Addison. So I would not, expect Jordan Addison to be out this week. Darius Slayton, he is in the concussion protocol. Like I wrote on my notes, does it really matter? Probably not. It's the Giants. But just a note, Slayton is going to be in the concussion protocol. Probably going to be out this week. Romo Odunze, so this is a big one. He's getting an MRI on his knee. No, as of this recording, no official diagnosis on that. I guess he heard it blocking, so please don't have him block anymore. But hopefully Odunze is okay. Maybe it's just like a minor bruise or something like that. You know, we'll see what the injury report says this week, but it didn't sound like I'm like expecting him to miss any time, but hopefully it's just something minor and then he'll be okay. Puka Nacua, so he injured his knee that has been bothering him all camp. Again, he tweaked it in this game, and it sounds like he's going to be week to week. I expect him to definitely be out this week. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe they just put him on IR for 4 weeks. It's early in the season. They have some receivers there that they can use, so maybe an IR stint for Puka Nacua for a month would do him good. Josh Downs, he's probably going to miss one more week as well. You know, those real high ankle sprains like that are really tough to come back from. I'm surprised I just didn't put Josh Downs on IR to start the year, come back week five, and, you know, come out healthy, hopefully. So Josh Downs going to miss again this week. Then we had two tight end injuries this week. So David Njoku, he is going to be week to week with a high ankle sprain. In my opinion, just like I was talking about with Downs and Nacua, he should go on IR. These high ankle sprains are never good. These guys hardly come back the same after these really high ankle sprain injuries. So, and Njoku's, I would say he's going to miss a month, if not a little bit more than that. Hopefully they put him on IR, and then, you know, Jordan Akins can take over here for a month. Jake Ferguson, he had an MCL injury. There is a chance he plays this week. But best case scenario, I think he misses a week or two. So, maybe Jake Ferguson misses this week, or next, you know, the next 2 weeks, and then he'll be back. But with best case scenario there on Jake Ferguson, it kind of looked bad, kind of looked maybe like a season-ending injury because he was grabbing at his knee, but he didn't tear anything, just an MCL injury. I expect Jake Ferguson to probably miss a week or two here, so that's not too bad there for those tight end injuries. All right, so let's get into the positions now. So for the waiver wire this week at the quarterback spot. So redraft I'll start with first, and then I'll go over the dynasty targets after that. So for redraft leagues, you know, Jordan Love's going to be missing here for a couple weeks. So do you need somebody to come in and take his spot? Do you need to pick up somebody? So my recommendations for this week are Baker Mayfield versus Detroit. Obviously, Mayfield's coming off a huge game against Washington. They are on the road in this one. Going to Detroit, but Mayfield did really good against them in the playoffs last year. Mike Evans, Godwin, Rashad White, the offensive line is better. Everyone's healthy. Jalen McMillan played really well. You know, I'm fine throwing Baker Mayfield in there. I think on the road, they might have to throw a little bit more. If I'm missing Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield's a fantastic option this week, I believe. This guy's probably not available in many redraft leagues, but if he happens to be, it's Jaden Daniels. Didn't have like the most stellar game, but just his rushing yards alone, rushing touchdowns, like made him a top 10 fantasy option this week. So if Jaden Daniels at home against the Giants is available, I'm going to go ahead and pick up Jaden Daniels to start him. And then my third option, I'd like to give you guys three options. It was kind of a hard one to pick this week because I think most of those guys are picked available or not available, but Justin Fields, if he happens to be out there, he's at Denver, but I think Justin Fields, just his rushing ability alone and all that, he could become a top 12 fantasy option weekly just based off of his legs, honestly. And we've seen him do that in Chicago many and many times. So if Justin Fields is out there and you lost Jordan Love, I don't think that's a terrible option either. So for dynasty targets here, so I talked about the Packers quarterback. Sounds like Malik Willis is going to be the guy that you want to target. Sean Clifford has also been a part of this team last year, was their backup all of last year, so he knows the system. Just keep your eyes peeled on Twitter for any kind of information that you get on this, because this could really change. Honestly, we really don't know if it's going to be Clifford or Willis. So one of those two should be the guy. I also mentioned Ryan Tannehill. If Ryan Tannehill was dropped in your leagues, and you know he's never going to be on the projected or anything like that on your sleeper leagues or MFL or whatever, because he's a free agent. But go ahead, do yourself a favor, go through the quarterback list and see if Ryan Tannehill's available. And if you have a free spot, I would pick up Ryan Tannehill. These quarterback injuries happen every single year, and it's going to happen. Somebody's going to get hurt for the year, and Ryan Tannehill is the best available free agent quarterback that's out there that could have a spot. So, and I wouldn't even be surprised if Green Bay came a calling if they just don't like Willis and Clifford. I think we would have heard that by now if they wanted Tannehill. So it's probably a little bit of a pipe dream, but just in case, man, if Tannehill's available, I would go ahead and pick him up. Another note was Jake Haener. He was the backup for the Saints this week, and Spencer Rattler wasn't active. So Jake Haener is currently the backup quarterback for the Saints to own, and Rattler is was the healthy and active in this one. And then my little list here of shitty quarterbacks or teams with shitty quarterbacks. Here's their backups that you want to pick up, because I don't think some of these quarterbacks are going to survive. So me being a Browns fan, watching Deshaun Watson's pitiful performance yesterday, Jameis Winston is definitely starting at some point this year. There's no way. I mean, Watson just looks absolutely lost out there. He can't run the offense. He's running around, scrambling around. He can't do it. So if Jameis Winston is available in your league, there is like a 95% chance that Jameis Winston is starting games for the Cleveland Browns sometime within the next, month or two. Absolutely guaranteeing it. So Jameis Winston is definitely somebody, if he's available, pick him up right now. Drew Lock, we saw how pitiful Daniel Jones and the whole Giants offense was yesterday. Even though they ran a shit ton of plays, they were still terrible. So there's no doubt in my mind that Drew Lock is going to be starting here at some point for the Giants, because Daniel Jones was awful. Another guy that was pretty awful was Will Levis. Like, he had a couple bad turnovers. He had that one on the sideline where he tried to flick it to one of his players with his right hand, and it got picked off and taken to the house for a 60-yard touchdown, and gave the Bears, pretty much the commanding lead of that game. So if Will Levis continues to be this bad, Mason Rudolph they brought in, I would expect Mason Rudolph to come in there and start some games if Will Levis continues to play this poorly. And I also threw Andy Dalton on this list just in case Bryce Young continues to like really struggle. Maybe they sit him down to kind of just, learn the game. Go out there and watch Andy Dalton play a little bit. That wouldn't surprise me either. So Andy Dalton was another one on this list that I wanted to mention. Now let's get into the running backs here. So the redraft running backs, I only have a couple for you for redraft, but Justice Hill is on this list. There's no particular order for this list. I'm not going to be listing these guys in order of how I prioritize them. I will let you guys pick how you want to prioritize them. But this is basically just starting from the Thursday night game and working my way to the 4 o'clock games and the Sunday night game and stuff like that. So that's what this order is usually based on, just so everybody knows that. So the first guy up is Justice Hill. So 43 snaps, which was 54% of the snaps. He ran 28 routes. He had 8 targets, 6 catches, and 52 yards, 1 carry for 3 yards. So in PPR leagues, we saw how much Justice Hill did play, and if they are behind, Justice Hill played more than Derrick Henry in this game. So Justice Hill is somebody in redraft. If you have an extra bench spot, I would not mind picking up. Tank Bigsby had a hell of a game. He only played 17 snaps, which was 32%. He ran 4 routes, but he had 12 carries for 73 yards and led the team in rushing yards and looked very, very good doing it. So if Tank Bigsby is available, that is definitely a guy I want to pick up in case ETN gets hurt, or, you know, Bigsby could even be a weekly flex play here if he starts getting more and more work. I think 17 snaps was probably a little too low for him. He should probably play a little bit more than that. But he proved this week that he looked really good. J.K. Dobbins, if for some reason he's still available in your leagues. So this is a guy, I'll be quite frank, I am totally out on. I just faded him completely in best ball in all leagues, like major knee injury, then a torn Achilles. Like, I'm just out on that kind of player. Like, we've never really seen somebody come in and successfully play for a full season and have, like, you know, 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns or whatever. But hey, if somebody wants to beat me with J.K. Dobbins, they can. But I'm going to mention him on this podcast. So he had 33 snaps, 58% of the snaps. He ran 17 routes, had 10 carries for 135 yards on a touchdown, 3 targets, and he caught 3 of them for 4 yards. So Dobbins, you got to put him on your radar, man. He was the best running back here for the Chargers, got the most snaps, ran for 100 yards on only 10 carries. We know the Chargers want to run the ball, so why not? If you can get Dobbins for a month or so before he blows up again, by all means, run him into the ground and get him. So if he's available in your league, I think he's definitely one of the top waiver claims this week if he is available. Next one up for redraft is Alexander Mattison, who I mentioned earlier. 36 snaps, which is 60% of the snaps. Zamir White, in reference, had 23 snaps for 38% of the snaps. 24 routes run. For Madison, he had 5 for 19 in the rushing department, whereas White was 13 for 44. But Madison did his damage in the passing game. He had 6 targets, caught 4 of them for 43 yards and a touchdown. So Madison is kind of like the third down back, and obviously he's playing a little bit more over Zamir White. So I think that had a lot to do with the game script as well, because they were down, so Madison was out there more for passing down. So I think this is kind of like a, you know, 50-50 backfield here. So Madison is definitely somebody I would consider picking up this week for sure. Now let's take a look at some of the dynasty players that I have listed here. So Emmanuel Wilson is the first one up. He had 16 snaps, which was 24%, 10 routes run. He had 3 targets, caught 2 of them for 2 yards, but he had 4 carries for 46 yards, and he looked really good on those carries. A.J. Dillon's out for the year. Marshawn Lloyd missed this week with a hamstring injury. I think Emmanuel Wilson for right now, you know, for maybe a week or two until Lloyd gets going, Emmanuel Wilson could be somebody that could sneak into your lineups in a best ball league. Ty Johnson, so he had 14 snaps for 23%, 9 routes run, 2 carries for 7 yards, and 1 target, but it didn't do anything with that target. He operated as a third down running back. Ray Davis was third in the pecking order for now. He had 6 snaps for 10% of the snaps. So Ty Johnson played over Ray Davis in this one. So that could be a guy that's available in your deeper leagues that you could pick up. Travis Homer. So this one was very interesting. We'll get into it in my segment later, but Travis Homer, 11 snaps, which was 20%. He was second among Bears running backs. He had 7 routes and didn't do anything with those, but 2 carries for 10 yards. Khalil Herbert only had 6 snaps and Velus Jones 4 snaps. Shane Waldron was a problem last year with the Seahawks, and he is a problem again this year for the Bears. So we'll get into it more as this podcast goes, but yeah, for any of those like Bears, if they're not like the core Bears players, then like it's so frustrating to own any Bears player right now. Dare Ogunwale for the Texans. So 14 snaps, which was 16%. 10 routes run. He had one target, one catch for 3 yards. So he operated as the third down back, gave Mixon a little bit of a breather. And he was second in the team in snaps for running backs. Damian Pierce only had 9 snaps, and Cam Akers was inactive. So Ogunwale is probably somebody who's on every single waiver wire. Not somebody I'm prioritizing, but I just want to keep this fresh in people's mind that Ogunwale is going to get some third down passing snaps there. So we'll see what happens. If something happens to Mixon, I think Ogunwale would definitely have the third down role all to himself. Jeff Wilson, want to mention him, 11 snaps for 15% of the snaps. He ran 3 routes, didn't do anything with those routes, but he had 5 for 26 rushing and actually led the team in rushing yards with those 5 for 26. But he was out there for 11 snaps. He ran routes. He ran the ball. So they were using him when he was out there. So if Jeff Wilson happens to still be sitting on your waiver wire, I'd go ahead and pick him up. Jalen Wright was inactive in this one, so Wilson was the third running back in this game. Miles Sanders, want to mention him, 22 snaps for 37% of the snaps. 11 routes, didn't do anything with those routes, just had 2 targets, but he had 5 for 22 rushing, which actually led the team in rushing yards over Chuba Hubbard. I think Chuba was 6 for 14, something bad. So the Panthers running game was not very good. Obviously, they were down a lot in this game, but if Miles Sanders happened to be dropped in your shallower dynasty league, that's maybe a guy you could pick up. Next one up is Pierre Strong. So he had 18 snaps, which was 24% of the snaps. He ran 16 routes on those snaps. He had 3 targets, 2 for 20. So he was just brought in to kind of spell Jerome Ford in passing situations. Deontay Foreman only had 1 snap, and I think that's a lot to do with the game script. Like, Cleveland was down the whole game. They couldn't really run the ball. I think Foreman would have been in there more if they were ahead and had to chew the clock a little bit. So I'm not like completely dropping Deontay Foreman or anything like that. I just think it was game script. He got kind of kicked out of that one. Let's go ahead and take a look at the wide receivers now. And we'll start with the redraft wide receivers that I want to mention here. So there is a couple of them this week. So Greg Dortch is the first guy I want to bring up. He played 37 snaps, which was 61% of the Cardinals' snaps. He ran 26 routes. He had 8 targets, which led the wide receivers here for the Cardinals. In comparison, Marvin Harrison Jr. had 3 targets, and Michael Wilson only had 2. So Greg Dortch, definitely a guy who's earning the targets right now. He had 8 of them, 6 for 47 on his targets. Greg Dortch is somebody that I was hammering at the end of a lot of my drafts this year. So Greg Dortch, if he happens to be available in your redraft leagues, I would go ahead and pick him up. KJ Osborne, so for the Patriots, 40 snaps, which was 62%, 14 routes. He had 6 targets, and he had 3 catches for 21 yards on those targets. He led Patriots wide receivers in snaps and targets. So if you're in a deeper league and you need somebody there, KJ Osborne is definitely somebody I would pick up right now. Xavier Leggett, so he's probably only available in redraft leagues. He played 35 snaps, which was 59%. He ran 23 routes, 7 targets, 4 for 35. They're trying to get on the ball, man. Like, 7 targets, I think, led the team in targets, or was second. He caught 4 of them for 35 yards, so they are trying to get Leggett the ball. So he's not like just some zero. If you want to pick him up, I think that would be a good one to go ahead and get. Quentin Johnston. So with DJ Chark going to the IR, Quentin Johnston stepped up here. He had 38 snaps he played, which was 67%. He ran 24 routes. He had 5 targets, and he had 3 catches for 38 yards. He was second on the team in yards and targets, and it was only by like 1 yard. I think their leading receiver had 39 yards. So Quentin Johnston, probably one of his better games as a pro, honestly, so far. So if you have a spot and you kind of think Quentin Johnston, or you liked him coming out, that might be a guy. Hey, maybe he gets going here with Herbert, gets the trust going with Herbert, practicing with Herbert and the first team. Maybe Quentin Johnston starts showing off some of his skills. So that could be a sneaky little pickup this week. Trey Tucker for the Raiders. He played 47 snaps, which was 78%. 33 routes run. He only had 3 targets for 2 for 22. But if you know anything about Trey Tucker, he is an explosive athlete and just like a playmaker waiting to happen. Very, very fast guy, like going to get the ball deep down the field, you know, end arounds. He is their punt returner, kick returner guy too. So if you have special teams points, I think Trey Tucker is a hell of a pickup. Jalen McMillan, he's going to be available in some redraft leagues. He had 52 snaps, which is 83%, 29 routes run. He had 3 targets and only caught the 1 for 32 yards, but it was the touchdown. He actually led the Bucs in snaps and routes. So I think this game was kind of out of hand a little bit towards the end, so he probably got a little bit more than Evans and Godwin. So I'm not expecting that to happen every week, but obviously they trust this kid a lot to be out there with the most snaps and most routes run in this first week. The other one is DeMarcus Robinson. So this has a lot to do with Puka Nacua being out, but they trust DeMarcus Robinson quite a bit. 72 snaps, which was 92% of the snaps. He ran 47 routes. He had 7 targets, 4 for 42. So DeMarcus Robinson with Puka Nacua out, I expect DeMarcus Robinson to definitely be somebody you could flex weekly with Puka Nacua out and feel okay about it. Dynasty wide receivers. So I have a lot of dynasty wide receivers here that I want to mention, so bear with me. Ray-Ray McCloud, so for the Falcons, he played 30 snaps, which was 54%, was also their main kick returner for special teams leagues. He ran 19 routes. He had 7 targets, 4 catches for 52 yards. So ever since Rondale Moore went out for the year, Ray-Ray McCloud has been slated in to start as the slotting slot receiver here. So he played a lot of snaps and got the targets and catches. So if he's available in your best ball, deep best ball leagues, I think Ray-Ray McCloud is worth a pickup. And just for like reference, like best ball leagues there, you kind of just want any of these wide receivers that are playing. Like if they have a chance to get some snaps, and all it takes is one big touchdown catch, kind of like Alec Pierce, we'll say. You know, he's probably got dropped in a bunch of leagues, but he's playing. And all it took was one big play to Alec Pierce, and he's in your weekly lineup there in best ball, and he's probably helping you win your week. So just kind of keep that in mind for some of these wide receivers and why I'm bringing them up. I'm bringing them up because they're playing the snaps, and they're getting the routes run and all that good stuff. On to the next one. So Van Jefferson, he had 49 snaps, 72%, 23 routes run, which actually led the team. He only had 1 target and only had 1 catch for 1 yard. But I'm just bringing up Van Jefferson because of how many routes he's running, the snap percentage that he is playing. You know, he could fall into the end zone there as a starting wide receiver there for you maybe 1 week if you have an empty roster spot. Calvin Austin, so he played 29 snaps for 41%, 14 routes run, 2 targets, 1 catch for 7 yards. I think that'll change once Roman Wilson is healthy. He did miss again this week, but if you need a super flyer this week, a really deep flyer, Calvin Austin maybe could be the guy going up in Denver. Mac Hollins, so he had 36 snaps, which was 58%, 20 routes run, 2 targets, 2 catches for 25 yards, and a touchdown. So I kind of want to give an update on all the Buffalo Bills wide receivers here since I'm talking about Mac Hollins. So Keon Coleman was the leading guy, 45 snaps, which was 73%, and he ran 27 routes. Khalil Shakir, 33 snaps, 53%, 21 routes run. Curtis Samuel only played on 17 snaps, which was 27%, 9 routes run. And MVS, 12 snaps, 21% of those snaps, and 4 routes run. So the current pecking order as of week 1 was Keon Coleman, Mac Hollins, Khalil Shakir, and Curtis Samuel was a distant 4th behind those guys. So it could be because Curtis Samuel hasn't practiced a whole lot because of his turf toe injury that he had. So keep an eye on that. Maybe Curtis Samuel will move up as the season goes on. But right now it's Coleman, Hollins, and Shakir are the top guys. Treylon Burks. So I think Treylon Burks had a lot to do because Hopkins was limited. DeAndre Hopkins only played 17 snaps and ran 9 routes. So I think this is why Treylon played a lot more. So he had 44 snaps, 69%, 28 routes, 2 targets, and he had 1 catch for 2 yards. So nothing to write home there about Treylon Burks, but wanted to bring him up. Tyquan Thornton, he had 37 snaps, which is 58%, 21 routes run, 3 targets, 2 for 27. So the Patriots used, I believe it was 4 receivers. It was Thornton, it was KJ Osborne, it was Jalen Polk, and DeMario Douglas were the main 4 receivers, and they all played pretty similar amount of snaps. But Tyquan Thornton could be available in some of your leagues, so you know, pick him up as like a best ball flyer. Trenton Irwin. So if T. Higgins continues to miss, Trenton Irwin was kind of the third receiver here that played the most. So he had 34 snaps, 65%, 23 routes run, 2 targets, 1 for 6. So if you happen to need somebody, Trenton Irwin could be a guy that could sneak in there and have a touchdown or two, especially against going up against Kansas City, where you would think the Bengals are going to have to throw a little bit more. Alec Pierce, who I mentioned earlier, 38 snaps, 84%. So he was the clear wide receiver 2 here for the Colts. He ran 20 routes. He had 3 targets, caught all 3 of them for 125 yards and the touchdown. Obviously, he caught the big 60-plus yard touchdown from Anthony Richardson. Cedric Wilson Jr. for the Saints, he was the third wide receiver for them. He had 29 snaps, 44%. He only ran 9 routes, but he was the third receiver. So, you know, obviously he's in there a little bit for blocking as well. And the Saints were up so much early, they didn't have to really air the ball out, as I'm sure a lot of you Chris Olave owners saw. Next one up is Jalen Naylor. So with Jordan Addison possibly being out, Naylor could step up here. So Naylor only played 26 snaps, which was 47%. He ran 12 routes, 1 catch for 21 yards, and the touchdown. So Jalen Naylor is the guy I've been beating the drum on and on America's Game podcast. So that's a guy, if he's available, I'm going to go ahead and pick up Naylor, and maybe he's the guy who benefits with Jordan Addison being out the next couple weeks, possibly. Brandon Powell is still involved as well. He had 30 snaps, 55%, which was more than Naylor, 13 routes run, but 0 targets from Brandon Powell. Just wanted to bring him up that he's playing some snaps. Jalin Hyatt. So I guess Jalin Hyatt kind of left the locker room yesterday. He still had his eye black on, probably pretty pissed off, and I don't blame him. He only played 16 snaps, 23%, and only ran 9 routes run. I want to bring him up, though, because Slayton could miss this week, and we could have Jalin Hyatt maybe as a starter this week, and somebody that you could possibly play this week in Jalin Hyatt. Devon Vale. So he was actually the starter in 3 receiver sets here for the Broncos this week. They had obviously have Cortland Sutton and Josh Reynolds, but Devon Vale is the third receiver there. Troy Franklin was inactive, and Marvin Mims, didn't get the snaps that Devon Vale did, the 7th rounder that they had. So he played 34 snaps, which was 49%, 31 routes run, 8 targets, and he caught all 8 for 34 for 39 yards. So pretty good rookie debut there for Devon Vale to catch 8 passes. So it looks like somebody that Bo Nix is going to be targeting quite a bit. Another guy that might not be available in too many dynasty leagues, but I want to at least bring him up just in case. And that's Luke McCaffrey, and which was very surprising because we kind of thought he was buried, and he was actually the second leading guy in snaps here. So 36 snaps for 61%, 24 routes run, compared to the other guys. So Dyami Brown, 33 snaps, 56%, 15 routes, and Olamide Zaccheaus, 26 snaps, 44%, 18 routes run. So McCaffrey kind of ran as the second most snaps and routes here for the Commanders this week. So those guys didn't do anything with them, though. But just wanted to bring that up for the Commanders receivers. And then the last one up that's very intriguing to me, with Puka Nacua probably missing some time here, Tyler Johnson. So he had 51 snaps, which was 65%, 33 routes run, 7 targets. He caught 5 of them for 79 yards. So people are wondering, why is Tyler Johnson playing? Well, Tutu Atwell played as well. He only had 6 snaps, 4 routes, and that's with Puka Nacua getting hurt. And Jordan Whittington, that everybody loved from the preseason, he only played 2 snaps. So Tyler Johnson here is de facto wide receiver 4, and now with Puka out, Tyler Johnson moved into wide receiver 3 here. So deeper leagues, Tyler Johnson is definitely going to be somebody I want to pick up, especially in some best ball leagues this week. Tight ends. All right, a lot of tight end notes too. Tight ends are a pain in the ass, let me tell you that. So let's start it out here. So redraft tight ends. Actually, I have quite a bit here for you. So Isaiah Likely, obviously, is going to probably be the number one target on most people's waiver wires this week, especially in redraft leagues. 53% of the snaps, 66%. 35 routes run, 12 targets, 9 catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown. If you lost Njoku, if you're losing Ferguson, I would definitely go ahead and get Likely, because I think this is somebody you could play every single week. And if you have a shitty tight end, like... You know, punting tight ends and you got stuck with Pat Freiermuth or Cole Kmet. I'm going to put my money on Isaiah Likely, and I'm going to start those guys. I'm going to start Likely over those guys. So I think that's a play that you can do. Tucker Kraft, he played 64 snaps, 96% of the snaps. Luke Musgrave, only 25%. So Tucker Kraft is the Packers' number one tight end, and Musgrave is the number two. 30 routes run, 3 targets, 2 for 37. Musgrave had 17 snaps, 8 routes run, and didn't do shit with them. So Tucker Kraft is the new Packers starting tight end. Number one, Musgrave is the backup right now. Jatavion Sanders. So obviously with Tommy Tremble ruled out, Ian Thomas is out as well. Jatavion Sanders was the one who started. 43 snaps, 73%, 28 routes run. He only had 1 target, caught it for 4 yards. But I wanted to bring up Jatavion Sanders. You know, if the Panthers have to throw a lot, this could be somebody that ends up getting some yards here. Theo Johnson completely took over the Giants tight ends role here. 61 snaps for the rookie. He played 86%, 39 routes, 4 targets, 1 for 18. And like Chris Manhertz played over Daniel Bellinger. So like, and it wasn't even close. It was like 19 or 20 snaps for Manhertz, 16 for Bellinger. And here's Theo Johnson at 61. So this is Theo Johnson's tight end room now. So play it accordingly with Theo Johnson. Hayden Hurst, so he is the clear tight end route runner for the Chargers. He had 36 snaps, 61%. He ran 23 routes. I think Disley only had single-digit routes run. 3 targets, 2 for 33 for Hayden Hurst. So if you need the Chargers tight end, Hayden Hurst is the guy. Greg Dulcich, so he played 46 snaps, 67%. He was the clear tight end there as well. 36 routes run, so out of his 46 snaps, he was running routes on them. He had 3 targets, only 2 for 12, but if he's getting this many routes and snaps and all that, Dulcich is definitely a guy I want to own. Zach Ertz, he was the tight end one by a mile for the Commanders, 42 snaps, 71%, 28 routes run, 4 targets, 3 catches for 28 yards. And then right up there with Isaiah Likely for me is Colby Parkinson. 69 snaps, 88%, and it wasn't even close. Davis Allen and Hunter Long didn't, like, I think they had single-digit snaps, combined, honestly. So Colby Parkinson is the tight end one here by a mile. He had 42 routes, 5 targets, 4 catches, 47 yards. So definitely a guy I want to pick up, Colby Parkinson or Isaiah Likely this week. Some dynasty tight ends here. So Noah Gray, 29 snaps, 54%, 11 routes run, 3 targets, 3 catches for 37 yards. So he played quite a bit there for the Chiefs this week for the Chiefs. So go ahead, pick up Noah Gray in some deeper leagues. Grant Calcaterra here for the Eagles, 36 snaps, which was 47%. He ran 12 routes, had 1 target, 1 catch for 11 yards. So if Goddard does get hurt, Calcaterra is the number one tight end there for the Eagles. This one, mind-boggling to me. So Gerald Everett for the Bears, 34 snaps, 61%, 21 routes run, one target, one catch for minus 1 yards. Wait, Eric, doesn't Cole Kmet play for the Bears? Yes, he does. Surprisingly, he still does. 27 snaps, 48%, 12 routes run, one catch for 4 yards. Gerald Everett has taken over the starting tight end job from Cole Kmet. So before your league mates find this out, you know, obviously Kmet sucked and had a 1-for-4. Sure, could Kmet, you know, take this over again at some point. But this is Shane Waldron again doing this shit that he did with the Seahawks last year. Like, I don't want any part of this. Cole Kmet, get rid of him. No thanks. Gerald Everett, I want no part of either. But these guys are just going to cannibalize each other all year. I want out on the Bears tight end situation completely. Brevin Jordan, I want to mention him. 40 snaps, 51%. He only ran 9 routes, 2 targets, 1 catch for 3 yards, but he played 51% of the snaps, so quite a bit. Tight end, Kylan Granson, 25 snaps, which was 56%, which led all Colts tight ends. 13 routes, only had the 1 target, didn't do anything with it. Another crazy one, the Miami Dolphins. So, Jonnu Smith and Durham Smythe are there, correct? Yep. You'd figure, okay, you know, if Durham Smythe had more snaps than Jonnu Smith week one, okay, I could see it. Like, I could talk myself into that. How about Julian fucking Hill is the one who got the snaps. 42 snaps, 59% of the snaps, 19 routes, 1 target, 1 catch for 6 yards. Led Dolphins tight ends in snaps and routes. Hill was in on most normal downs and third down passing. As well, and Jonnu Smith was in there on third downs, is what I was saying. I'm sorry. But, yeah, Jonnu Smith was playing in there, and Julian Hill was in there on, like, most of the normal downs. So, kind of crazy here. Foster Moreau, 51 snaps, 77%, 14 routes run, 4 targets, 4 for 43 and a touchdown. Led the Saints and tight end snaps by double. I'm guessing it's because they are just taking it easy on Juwan Johnson, who's coming back from injury. Juwan Johnson did catch a touchdown in this game too. So I think those numbers are going to come back down more to earth. But if you need it, you're in a pinch this week and need a tight end, Foster Moreau could be the guy for you. Johnny Munt and Josh Oliver. So this is kind of a split here. So Munt, 29 snaps for 53%, 16 routes, 3 targets, 2 for 15. Oliver, 27 snaps, 47%, 10 routes, 2 targets, and 2 for 27. He did catch a touchdown that got called back. So yeah, I mean, Munt and Oliver are kind of just splitting the snaps here while TJ Hockenson is still out. Jake Ferguson misses a couple weeks here, who's going to be the tight end? So Brevin Spanford, the undrafted rookie from Minnesota, and Luke Schoonmaker, they both played 19% or 19 snaps, which was 30%. Ford ran 9 routes and Schoonmaker ran 6 routes. And there's also John Stevens Jr., who they really like, who missed this game with a hamstring injury. So if he comes back, I think he gets involved. So honestly, I don't want any of these guys, but if I had to pick, like, if Spanford is already running more routes and than Schoonmaker, who's been here for 2 years, this is his third year now, then, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go with Spanford, I guess, for this week. Let's see here. Oh, we just got breaking news here on my phone. Malik Willis will indeed be the starter if Jordan Love is not cleared. So Malik Willis from earlier is the starter. Last tight end I want to bring up is Jordan Akins. So with Njoku probably missing a month, Jordan Akins should be the guy that you want to pick up there. 43 snaps, 57%. He ran 31 routes, 4 targets, 3 for 27. He's nothing like special, but him and Watson have played together. They're friends. I could see Jordan Akins being a guy that you could, you know, shitball your way into some best ball leagues. And, you know, maybe he gets you 12, 15 points just in PPR leagues and scams it for you with Jordan Akins. So I could see that. One thing I did want to bring up too is some of the return guys. So these are some guys who play on offense as well that I wanted to mention, especially for Scott Fishbowl leagues. These could be some really big guys that you want to pick up. For those Scott Fishbowl leagues especially. But if your league rewards kick return yards, punt return yards, all that good stuff. These are some guys that I would definitely key in on. So Kenny Gainwell, he was the kick returner for Philadelphia this week, and he had some returns. DJ Dallas is the kick returner for Arizona. He took one to the house this week too, so that's definitely a big guy. DeAndre Carter is the kick returner, punt returner for Chicago. Valus Jones fumbled it, and Carter was kind of trusted after that, and Carter had most of the returns and punt returns, and he's also playing wide receiver too, so DeAndre Carter could be a sneaky guy in some deeper best ball leagues for with return yards and all that. Jaquan Jackson, the rookie from Tennessee, he was the kick returner and punt returner for them. Anthony Gold, the rookie for Indy, he was their kick returner, punt returner. The Jags, they had Parker Washington on kick returns, and Devin Duvernay was doing the punts. Panthers, so Raheem Blackshear, he was their main returner. He had 8 kickoffs for 204 yards on kick returns. That's an absolute cheat code in Scott Fishbowl, so that would be a guy I would pick up in some Scott Fishbowl leagues. Kevontae Turpin, he was the main returner for kicks and punts. He also had a punt return touchdown, another cheat code for Scott Fishbowl leagues. Marvin Mims, he was the main kick returner and punt returner for the Broncos, so that could be another potential cheat code. Seahawks, LaVisca Chenault was their kick returner. Chargers, Darius Davis was their main returner on kicks and punts. And the Commanders, this one was interesting to me, Austin Eckler was their kick returner. So if you want Scott Fishbowl, Austin Eckler's getting return yards plus his normal stuff on offense, Eckler could be really valuable in some Scott Fishbowl leagues as well. And before we end it, we got to do my favorite segment of the week here, the what the fuck are we doing here, man, segment here. Shout out to Dynasty Barry on that one. This is just the mind-boggling shit that I find looking through all these snap counts, snap shares, and I'm just like, what are these guys doing? So got 4 of them here for you this week. First one is the Steelers. In 11 personnel, Pat Freiermuth, 51 snaps and 21 routes. When that goes to 12 personnel, it's Darnell Washington and Mykole Pruitt. And Freiermuth's on the bench. So in 12 personnel, Darnell Washington, 37 snaps, 7 routes. Mykole Pruitt, 40 snaps, 11 routes. Like, what the fuck are we doing here, Art? Like, I know you have your man crush on Mykole Pruitt. He's played for Tennessee, Atlanta, and now he's with you in Pittsburgh. Like, I don't know what Mykole Pruitt has on Arthur Smith, but it must be something really good that he just keeps playing. And they're kind of just cucking Pat Freiermuth here. It sucks. I mentioned it earlier. Shane Waldron's tight end bullshit again, with Everett outsnapping Komet by 13 snaps and running more routes. They just paid Cole Komet a boatload of money, and now we're going to sit him behind Gerald Everett. What the fuck are we doing here, man? Bengals, another one, just like last year, 4-way fuckfest at tight end. Drew Sample was the leader. Gesicki, was in there. Eric All and Tanner Hudson. Like, they're just all 4 splitting snaps. Sample had the most because he's the best blocker. He's not running the most routes though, so it's like you can't even play a Bengals tight end. And then last one is a 3-way fuckfest tight end for Miami. Julian Hill, 42 snaps, 19 routes. Durham Smythe, 30 snaps, 15 routes. Janu, 20 snaps, 16 routes. So what are we doing here? We're playing Julian Hill and Durham Smythe over Janu Smith. Woof. Yeah, it's so bad right now with these tight ends. I know all of these ones were tight ends. And the Colts, they're still a 3-4 man fuckfest at tight end. Will Mallory didn't play this week, but Drew Ogletree, Mo Alie-Cox, and Kylan Granson all split the snaps again too. And it's, you just want to bang your head against the wall with some of these guys. Like, what are we doing? Just play the fucking best players. But that's it for this week, guys. So I appreciate everybody tapping in. Hopefully this helped you guys a lot. We will be back next week here for week 3. America's game will drop on Thursday as well. I'm not quite sure what we're going to talk about yet, but it'll definitely be some week 1 takeaways and stuff like that, stuff we learned and the actual information we're going to take from that and how we're going to apply it to our league. So check out that at America's Game Pod. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL. At South Harmon FF. Make sure you guys follow that on YouTube and Twitter as well. Make sure you guys check out the YouTube channel. We got so many great videos dropping. Like every single day, it seems like a new video is popping up on there. So make sure you guys check that out. Lots of great live streams, lots of great videos that get posted on there. So make sure you guys check that out every single week. So for with that, I appreciate you guys tapping in here. Good luck to you on the waiver wires. And we will see you next week here for week 3 of the Waiver Wire Show.